This is the undiluted Word of God. Listen and be blessed.
Open the floor gates of heaven. Bible said that where the Spirit is, there is liberty. Now that the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Let's open our mouth. Let's open our mouth and exercise our liberty. Our liberty in His presence. We are in the presence of our Father. We are in the presence of our Father. We are in the presence of our Maker. There is liberty. There is liberty. There is liberty in His presence. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Let it rain. Rain of freedom. Rain of freedom. Rain of freedom. Rain of abundance. Rain of mercy. Rain of mercy. Leketa batana sotana. Church, open your mouth. Open your mouth. Open your mouth and decree your own liberty. Leka bata banos katena balasiana. Ekatata dos palaki patela baratomatalia. Father, we are in your presence, Lord. We are at the root of the fountain. We are at the root of the fountain. We are at the root of the fountain. Kaba patanatona. Every bondage is loosened. Every bondage, every bondage, every bondage is loosened. Kepatosi banakatenosata. Ekapapata panata tatasia. Ekopaleso bonoto. Church, open your mouth, open your mouth. Open your mouth, open your mouth, open your mouth and pray. It is not a debate. It is your right. It is your right. It is your right unto sonship. It is your right unto sonship. That where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is liberty. Kabaleto sabanatana sotena. Ikapatiana kateno da sanana. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Father, we welcome you, Holy Spirit. Take charge of this meeting. Take charge of everything. Speak, Ancient of Days. Speak and open the eye of our understanding, that our hearts will be enlightened. In the mighty name of Jesus, break every yoke that needs to be broken. Everything that needs to be put aright, Ancient of Days, let them begin to align in the Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for your mercies, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Amen. Good evening, church. If you have an empty seat in front of you, please do us a favor. Come forward a little bit. As people who are empty seating, a few seats empty, kindly come forward, please. Our sires and mothers. Amen. Technical, I need you guys very handy. I would like us to have Amplified on the side, NIV on the side, and then Message version on the side. So our topic today is Him. H-I-M, Him. Amen. And our text is taken from the book of John 1, 1 to 5. John 1, 1 to 5. Amplify, please. Okay. Amplified. In the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God Himself. Verse 2, He was continually existing in the beginning, co-eternally with God. Verse 3, all things were made and came into existence through Him. And without Him, not even one thing was made that has come into being. 4, and in Him was life. And the life to bestow life. And the life was the light of men. 5, and the light shines on in the darkness, and the darkness did not understand it, or overpower it, or appropriate it, or absorb it, and is and is all receptive to it. Amen. Amen. Our topic today is Him. And according to the text we read, it is already self-explanatory that the Him that we are talking about is Jesus, who is also called the Word of God, the living Word of God. Amen. Amen. This evening will be taking some certain steps. I would at some point ask some questions and try as much as I can to make it interactive. Amen. So the mic should be around. If you follow the series of the teachings for this year, Light, you would discover one thing, that everything that has, every topic, every preacher, every speaker, every teacher that has climbed on this altar has, over time, indirectly or directly talked about spiritual illumination. And from last time I was here, I explained illumination as to lighten, to brighten something, to enlighten insight, to educate, to make open the truth, and to reveal, to make something clear. As much as I followed all the teachings all this while, each one of them have picked a core facet of these four to explain how light operates and how we are originally meant to operate in light. Amen. And as a build up to all those teachings, I want to emphasize that the distance you attain, the distance you cover, the distance you can achieve is based on the amount of spiritual illumination you have on the Word of God. I wrote down here, the distance you can cover in the journey of life is based on the amount of light you have in you. Amen. I want to use an illustration let's say our car. People that have cars, you will not be comfortable giving someone who has not been trained your car to service or to work on if the person cannot provide at least a certain level of competence. Amen. As so, it translates the distance you cover, your ability to attain, to achieve, to acquire, to dominate is a direct reflection of the amount of light you have in you. And light, the core, the function of light as well, is empowerment. I'm trying to build up to where we will be landing very soon. Can we open Isaiah 40, verse 29 to 31a? The core function of all this journey, all these topics, every vessel God has used on this altar is for empowerment, basic empowerment, which comes as a result of illumination, enlightenment, education, and revelation. Amen. And we read, He gives strength to the weary who has no might. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who has no might, he increases power. Next one. Even youths grow weary and tired and vigorous. Young men stumble badly. Verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him, will gain new strength and renew their power. The journey of this of this topic of light has been basically to empower us as Christians. What you know is a direct reflection of how far, I think I said it before, as in how far you go. Amen. Having said all this, I now enter into our topic, him. From John, verse 1 to 5, it is expressly written for us to understand that Jesus was the him that I mentioned at the beginning of the topic. Amen? Amen? And as we progress, I'm going to ask the technical to please help us to pass the mic around. I want to know who, from your understanding, who do you think Jesus is? Or what do you understand when you refer to Jesus? What image or what function reflects in your heart? I would like a volunteer. Who is Jesus to you? Okay, personalize it. Who is Jesus to you? Amen. Okay, let's start from Dr. Who is Jesus to you?
Jesus is God.
Jesus is God. Another person? Okay. The lady there?
Jesus is my Savior.
Your Savior. Next person?
Jesus is the light of the world.
The light of the world. Amen. Okay.
Jesus is the lamb that was slain for the time, and he is the one that is like the ingredients that was used to create this world.
Okay. I'm not seeing a personification. Who is Jesus to you? Like, who is? Yeah, relative. Yes.
Okay.
If someone approaches you on the street and asks you, who is Jesus to you? I just want to.
Yeah, he's my Savior and he's my provider.
Okay, Savior and provider. One more person. One more.
He's my best friend and the thread that keeps my fibers together.
Oh, that's deep. Best friend. Keeps her fibers together. Amen. Amen. Okay, we'll be. Amen.
Amen.
Church, amen. Amen. Okay. from my first explanation, Jesus is the light of God. I heard someone said Jesus is light of the world. Yes, 100% correct. But I want to explain it from the concept of God. Can someone open Hebrew 1 verse 3? Hebrews 1 verse 3. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. Okay, and he said, and the Son is the radiance and only expression of the glory of our awesome God, reflecting God's Shekinah glory, the light being the brilliant light of the divine, and the exact representation and perfect imprint of his Father's essence, and upholding and maintaining and propelling all things, the entire physical and spiritual universe, by his powerful word. I can't see. Can you expand it, please? Okay. Carrying the universe along to its predestined goal. Amen. Let me stop there. It says, he is the radiance and only expression of the glory of our awesome God. Amen. Jesus is the physical image of the invincible God. I want us to switch it to NIV. I think it gives us another perspective. NIV. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Amen. Amen. Are we together? Amen. Jesus is the light of God, the direct reflection of the glory of God, the physical image of the physical representation of the invisible God. Amen. The physical representation of the invisible God. Jesus is the direct expression of God's glory. While I was studying this, I had to dig deep a little bit to understand the dynamics of how light actually functions. And in my research, I found out that three components will have to be present before we can see this light we are seeing. The first is the electric current, which is called photons. People who are in science, and photons, the electric current has to be there. The medium, the metal, as in wherein the bulb resides, the filament has to be, as in the presence, an ion. The metal parts inside the bulb has to be present, and that ion inside the bulb has to heat up, as in for light, for us to see and appreciate the light. The first one is the current, which is the photon. The filament, which is the metal that the current that absorbs the current, and then the filament has to catch has to heat up in the process. Amen. As while I was undergoing and then I'm trying to understand, the Spirit of the Lord dropped in my spirit and said that him, as in God, okay, before this light comes into this place, there is a source. Him, he's the source. The Holy Spirit is the current, and Jesus is the glory that we see and call it light. Amen? God, the source of the current, and the Holy Spirit, the current, and Jesus, the light that we see and appreciate. Amen? And without these three things coming into place, we will not appreciate this wonderful creation we are seeing here. Amen? And so, when Hebrews 1 verse 3 said that he is the physical that he is the physical representative of an invisible God, we don't see that current. You cannot see if you can't see it, you can only touch it, or you can measure it. You cannot see it with your physical eye. That Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. Amen. That Jesus is the radiance of God's glory, as a result, the whole Trinity, as it functions in a way where Jesus himself is the radiance, is who we see. Amen. Is who we'll see. Amen. In Exodus 33, verse 18, as when Moses was on the mount, he asked God, can I see you? He told him, no. You can't see me, but I will cover your eye. When my glory passes, you will see you see the back of my glory. You cannot see me at the moment. And as Jesus came, he became the physical representation of his Father. And that function made him to be the light of the world, the light of the Father. Amen. Amen. Are we together? Let us read John 12:44-46. John 12:44-46. John 12:44-46. Then Jesus cried out, whoever believes in me does not believe in me alone, but in the one who sent me. Next verse. And the one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me. Verse 46. I have come into the world as light, so that no one who believes in me shall stay in darkness. Amen. A direct reflection, a physical representation of the invisible God. Amen. Are we together? The other function of Jesus is he's supreme. Amen. He is the supremacy of God. Amen. Let's open Colossians 1, verse 15 to 17. Colossians 1, NIV, please. Colossians 1, 15 to 17. And it said, the Son is the image of the invisible God, which reechoes that he is the light of the world. The firstborn of all creation. Next verse. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, invisible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority, all things have been created through him and for him. Next verse, please. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. While I was reading this, physics that gave birth to the light popped into my head. In him, all things are held together. Amen. Amen. When you say, okay, let us read Colossians 2 verse 9 to 10 for emphasis. Colossians 2 verse 9 to 10. Colossians 2 verse 9 to 10. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity, do you have English Standard Version, please? ESV? If you don't have, you can read this. Okay, for in him, the fullness of deity dwells bodily. Next verse. And you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. Amen. Give me amplified for, on that place. I'm going to link everything up. Okay. For in him you have been made complete, achieving spiritual stature through Christ. And he is the head of all rule and all authority, of every angelic and earthly power. Amen. Where my emphasis is, he is the head of all rule. Let's go to King James. Let's see what in King James says about it. Okay. He is the head of all rule in Amplified. In King James, ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Amen. We've seen different translations of the Bible naming it different things. The head of all principalities. Amen. Verse 17 of Colossians 1 said, in him all things are held together. Amen. Are we together? I went a little bit. I said, okay, he's the head of all principalities. He is the head of all thrones. He is the head of all angelic orders. I went ahead to do further digging to understand what a principality is. And from the Merriam-Webster, I saw that, number one, a principality is a state, an office, or authority of a prince. Amen? A principality is a state, an office, or authority of a prince. Amen? Number two, it means the territory of jurisdiction of a prince. Amen? Number three, principalities are an order of angels. Amen? And so, if he's the head of all thrones, of all powers, and head of all principalities, it all culminates into one thing, that he is the supremacy of God. Amen. He has the final say. He has how do I put it? The military man. He has the final and last command, as in verdict. Thank you, ma. He has the last verdict. He is the supremacy of God. He is the supreme God. Amen. In if we go to Daniel 10:13, it tells us 1-13 actually, and tells us a story of how the prince of Persia stopped the answer of Daniel's prayer until an angel came. This was before Jesus came to earth to okay, let's read. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. One of the chief princes of God, not even on the level of Jesus, who is the head of all principalities. Amen. Jesus is the supremacy of God. Amen. Amen. Are we together? Okay. I pointed out two things that Jesus is. The first one is that he is the light of God. He is the physical representation of the invisible God. Amen. The second is that he is the supreme God. In him, all things hold together. He is the head of all thrones, head of all angelic orders, and he is the head of all principalities. Amen. The third one is in Isaiah 9 from verse 6 to 7. Can we open Isaiah 9 from verse 6 to 7? He is
He is the foundation of the government of God. Amen. Anytime the Bible mentions something chronologically, he has a deep spiritual significance. And he says, this is the first time his birth was announced. And he said, for unto us a child is born, by the prophet Isaiah, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. After that, the next line was that the government shall be upon his shoulders. Amen. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Next verse, please. Of the increase of his government, again for emphasis, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon the kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth for even forevermore. Amen. Jesus is the bedrock of the government. Amen. This is where the crux of my teaching lies. Jesus is the bedrock, the foundation of the government of God. Amen. Before I go deep into it, I want to explain what a government is. According to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, a government is a body of persons that constitutes the governing authority of an organization or a political unit. For something to identify as a government, first of all, it has to have an identity. For an organization or a political entity to answer a government, it must have an identity. I remember back in Nigeria when I wanted to register my company, they asked me what's the name of the stakeholders, location and all that. As in, and they inquired of, they put together a couple of questions to understand how I intend to run that business I was registering. They wanted to, all the questions they were asking on the CAC was to know if the company could sustain itself as a system. Amen? As in, so, a government is a combination of a system, a combination of systems and structure. Amen? Amen? Are we flowing? A government is a combination of system and structures. The other definition is an office, authority, or a function. So, I wrote down here, for a government to be considered legitimate, it must be made up of systems and structures that facilitates and sustains its existence. Amen? Are we together? Are we together? I said, a government, for it to be considered legitimate, must have systems and structures that sustains and maintains it. Amen? I also went further, and I discovered that there are types of government systems and structure. According to my findings, we have three types of government systems. We have the executive, we have the legislative, and we have the judicial. Amen? And each of this system has its own structure. Amen. In the legislative, you have the Senate, you have the House of Representatives, or you have the Parliament. In the executive, you have different government ministries and government sectors and offices and the offices. In the judicial, you have the different levels of courts. You have the Supreme Court, you have the Magistrate Court, you have the Appeal Court. And for a government to be termed a government, these systems and structure have to be in place and functional. Amen. So when Isaiah said, "The government shall be upon his shoulder," he painted the picture of the totality of both execution, legislation, and judicial, the totality of the functions and the structure upon the shoulder of Jesus. Amen. Are we together? Are we together? And a government cannot effectively function outside of this. The absence of this creates anarchy and instability in the government. Amen. So to further explain this, I went further to go and understand what a system is. From my findings, I understood that a system is a set of elements. Sets of elements that are organized for a common purpose. And also, it's a set of principles or procedures according to which specific tasks are done in an organized approach. Amen? Amen? And then a structure is simply the way the systems are arranged. Amen? A structure is simply the way the systems are arranged. While the systems are the elements. Amen? Are we together? And some important things you need to know about system. Nothing is sustainable until it is systemized. Until it is set according to a system. And number two, system is what guarantees the longevity of anything. Amen. And also, systems make processes predictable. I want to use cooking as an example. Let me see. Custard. Yes. You know that for you to get the custard, you have to boil water first, pour it in a bowl, bring the powder, turn it, and stir it. Whether you do after stirring it, you get the custard. Whether you do it in Leeds, or you do it in Scotland, or you do it in Africa or Asia, because of the system that ensures that when these elements come together, you have a custard, you will have the same result. Amen? So systems are what makes outcomes, results predictable. Amen? Okay, so I wrote down also, systems addresses the approach, while structure addresses the way the systems are aligned. Amen? One thing we need to take note of is that our God is a God of systems and structures. And with every process he creates a system around it. He He creates a self-sustaining process around it that makes it possible for such a process to replicate itself. Amen? In the beginning, he said, let there be light. And there was light. He went down to plants, to animals, came down to human beings. Amen? He created light for photosynthesis. Amen? For for the plants to sustain itself. Amen? And then humans that he created last, he created them to sustain, he created us to sustain ourselves on the plants and the animals. I watched a documentary recently on Netflix. It's about commercial fishing. From that documentary, I discovered that if fishing is not done at a certain element or at a certain percentage, the bigger fishes will eat the smaller fishes and all that, and there will be an imbalance in the ecosystem. As in God created man last to ensure that there's a balance both in the plants and in the animals. And when he created man, which was his last creation, he said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Amen? He created a system for reproduction. There's nothing that God creates that he does not set up a process for it to sustain itself. Amen? Are we together? Are we together? Okay, so characteristics of systems and structure. We will look at systems and structure, and we'll look at Jesus. Amen? So we can have deep understanding of why Isaiah mentioned years before his birth that the government will be upon his shoulders. Amen? Number one, systems and structures make it possible for constant result replication. I use the custard as an example. Okay, let me use reproduction. Or something else, like the custard as an example as well. You have to bring hot water at a certain degree, degree centigrade or Fahrenheit. Add it in a bowl, which is a medium. Add your custard powder and stir for you to have the full custard. And like I said, somebody in Asia who has the same elements will repeat the same process and get the same results. So systems and structures make it possible for constant result replication. And under this, is an example of the system that surrounds salvation. Amen? Let us read Romans 10, verse 9. Romans 10, verse 9. Romans 10, verse 9. Okay. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This is a letter written to the Romans thousands of years ago. Because of Jesus as the sustaining system, because of his sacrifice on the cross, this system still remains relevant till today. Amen? When you confess, you are the process is triggered. Amen? It's like a car. You enter your car, you fuel it, you service everything, you enter your car, you put on your ignition, it comes on. There's a system that ensures that as soon as you turn on that ignition, the car comes on immediately. Amen? Are we together? So this is as for the car. Now look at Jesus. And Romans just told us that if you confess your sins and believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It happens automatically. Amen? There's no argument. There's no tussle or challenge about it. Amen? The other one that emphasizes that systems and structures make it possible for constant result replication is 1 John 5:11. 1 John 5:11. And also keep on the side, John 16:16. But let's go to 1 John 5:11. Systems and structure make it possible for constant result replication. And he said, and this is the record that God had given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Amen? Are we together? John 16:16. John 16:16. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall not see me, because I go to the Father. Amen? Verse 16:23. And in that day, ye shall ask me nothing. Verily I say unto you, whatever you ask in my name, he will give you. Systems, the prayers that we pray are answered based on the systems of God that was built on the shoulder of Jesus. It is the same system that ensures that when you say in the name of Jesus, heaven is alert. Amen? The same system ensures that whatever you say on earth is honored in heaven. Amen? Are we together? Systems and structure make it possible to replicate constant results. Amen? Another function of system and structure is that it is put in place to eliminate any form of sentiments. Let's go to Titus 2:11. Titus 2:11. I would love Amplified, please. Titus 2:11. Systems and structures guarantee. Systems and structures are put in place to eliminate any form of sentiment. Okay, Titus 2:11. For the remarkable undeserved grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. When you set up a system now, for example, I'm studying. The same questions, the same lecture all of us take is the same thing across the whole department. Nobody is giving a special preference after the class, except you want to ask for further time to lecturers. But the same question you are giving is the same one your neighbor is giving, is the same one the other person is giving, because there's an educational system that is set up to judge the capacity of the students. Amen? So, while this is in the physical, Jesus, on his own, has made his own remarkable and undeserved grace to all men, giving us salvation. Are we together? From where I come from, if Jesus were to be someone that looks at face, Some politicians will buy up everything. He won't reach us. Amen? So, him as a system was used as a foundation to ensure that grace abounds to all men. Amen? Are we together? Next function of system. System and structures guarantee sustainability and longevity of results. Amen? Longevity and sustainability. When he said in Genesis, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Amen? That is sustainability. Longevity of that system of reproduction. He didn't come back after Adam and say, okay, let me mold another human being from the dust. But he set up that reproduction system to ensure that the human race is sustained and attains longevity. Amen? So systems are set up for sustainability of results and longevity of results. Amen? Let us read Luke verse 21 to 33. And Luke 21, 33. And then keep on the side. Psalm 119:89-90. Luke 21 to 33. Jesus is the foundation on which results are sustained. Okay. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Amen. What are his words? Let there be light. Let us create man. Let us do this. Let us do this. And over time, we have seen that this establishment of his words has been permanent. Amen. Let's go to Psalm 119, verse 89. His word as a system is set up for longevity. His word as well. Okay. Psalm 119. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven, standing firm and unchangeable. Next one. 90, sir. Your faithfulness continues from generation to generation. You have established the earth and it stands securely. Are we together? System ensures sustainability and longevity. It says from generation to generation. Are we together? I want us to read Matthew 7:24-25. Message version, please. Matthew 7:24-25. Message version. Message, sir. Okay, yes. These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life or homeowner improvements to your standard of living. It's not. They are foundational words to build a life on. If you work on these words in your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Amen? Are we together? Systems and structure guarantee sustainability and longevity of results. Jesus is the foundation on which this carpenter now that he was illustrating is the foundation on which results are sustained. He is the foundation on which results are steadily sustained. Amen. Are we together? Okay. Next one. System and structures make replication possible. Let's open Matthew 28, verse 18. And I read, you can replicate any result where there is a system in place to facilitate it. Amen. You can replicate any result where there's a system in place to facilitate it. But before you can do that, you must have a core understanding of what that system is. Matthew 28. Okay, no, I need NIV, please. Systems make replication possible. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Please open Philippians 4, verse 9. Philippians 4, verse 9. Philippians 4. For you to replicate something, you must have an understanding. You must have a connection. You must have an experiential knowledge of what that system is all about. Okay. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put in practice. And the God of peace will be with you. You must have an experiential knowledge. This is a letter from Paul, emphasizing what Matthew 28, verse 18, where Jesus said that all power has been given unto him. And Paul is encouraging the Romans to replicate whatsoever they have seen him do, both himself and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Are we together? The last function of the system is that system provides a benchmark for rewards and reprimands. Like I said, the educational system, the same question that A is given is the same, even if they change a few things, but it will still be in line with curriculum, course outline. Yes, ma. It will still be in line. Nothing, they can't just get anything alien and set for you as a qualification. Amen? There's always standard or basis for reference when it comes to system. Amen? And this is for the system. You buy electronics and they give you manual. See, this is how you do this. If you want this system to work for you, this is in the physical. In the spiritual, you examine the life and the word. You examine the word of God. You imbibe it and you examine the life of Christ. Are we seeing that what is obtainable? When he said in his prayers, let it be. Let it be on earth as it is in heaven. Let it be on earth as it is in heaven. This was the picture that he was painting. You buy your television and they give you manual. This is how you operate it. And him as a system, his word is the manual that the Christian is supposed to study. Amen? To replicate, enjoy both the rewards and reprimands. Amen? First of all, in a system, when you buy a TV, they will ask you, even when you are carrying it, you will see an indicator, this side up. Or you will see something on the body, fragile. If you decide I will use it to throw ball, after throwing it, you will open it and what you bought is damaged. Amen? Are we together? As in, so, the people that produce the TV set up that system to ensure that it is in good condition when you operate it or when you open it or you want to use it. Amen. So is God. There are rewards and reprimands. Let's read Deuteronomy 9, 30 verse 9 and 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9. Deuteronomy 30, verse 9, as we round up. Deuteronomy 30, verse 9. Then the Lord our God will make you most prosperous in all your works, in all the works of your hands and the fruits of your womb. No, this is not the scripture I'm looking for. Let's read 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. The scripture I'm looking for is in Deuteronomy, I think 30. As what he said, I place before you life and death. Choose life. I place before you blessings and curse. Okay, 28. Yes. Choose as in blessing that it will be well with you. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. However, as it is written, what no eyes have seen, what no ears, no, I need amplified. Amplified gives me as in personality to this scripture. Amplified. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither have you been revealed unto man what God has. I need amplified too. Okay, yes, just as it is written in scripture, things which the eyes had not seen and the ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, which all that God has prepared for those who love him, who hold him in affectionate reverence, who obey him, and who gradually recognize the benefit that he has bestowed. In systems, there are benefits. In Jesus, there are also benefits. Amen? Amen? Also reprimands in Christ as well. The wages of sin is death, like the Bible said. So, in conclusion, over time, God has made available an operational guide and code of conduct for us due to the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. His mercy is ever present. Amen? His mercy is ever present. And before a Christian will enjoy total dominion, he or she must have an experiential knowledge of who Jesus is. Amen? From the onset, we said that Jesus is the light of God. He is the physical image of the invisible God. He is the representation of he radiates God's glory. And we equated it to the three components that give rise to light. The source, which is God. The current, which is the Holy Spirit, and the filament, which is Jesus, that gets hot, and we see the radiance of God's glory. We also called him the Supreme One, the head of all principalities, and we also went to, let's go back to Isaiah verse 6. Isaiah 9 verse 6. Amen? Let's just read it for emphasis. Isaiah 9 verse 6. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Verse 7. There shall be no end to the increase of his government and of peace. And I took us down to what makes up the government, which is systems and structure. And in governments, we have three types of systems of government, which are the legislative, the executive, and the judicial. And then within a system, I explained what a system is, that is a set of elements that a set of elements of components that are organized for a common purpose, why structures are how these systems are arranged. Amen. We talked about the characteristics of systems and structures, that systems and structures make it possible for constant result replication, number one. Systems and structures are put in place to eliminate forms of sentiment, number two. Systems and structures guarantee sustainability and longevity of results, number three. Number four, systems and structures make replication possible. And lastly, systems and structure provide a benchmark for rewards and reprimands. Let's read Ecclesiastes 10 verse 10 in summary. Ecclesiastes 10 verse 10. I need NIV, please. And if the axe is dull and does not sharpen its edge, more strength is needed, but skill will bring success. The missing link, the core ingredients that ensures that our axe head is properly suited for the use in life is our experiential knowledge of the of Jesus as light and as the face and as the foundation of the government of God. Amen. I want us to bow our heads in prayers and ask God. Let's be on our feet, because we will be praying this evening. While in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God operates with systems and structures. The kingdom of darkness as well operates with system and structures. We will just make one simple prayer. I say, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, every system, every structure that has been set up contrary to your will in my life, let them be broken.
We hope you've been blessed by the Word of God. The Word is brought to you by RCCG Power Connections, 236 Meanwood Road, Leeds, LS72AH. For more inquiries, you can call 078-513-3702 or send an email to info@rccgpowerconnectionsleeds.com. God bless you.